Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hear that? What is it? It's a heavy wind. I'm by myself. No! It is. That's right. It's the best show, guys. We are doing the show, and it's a special edition of the show. This is being recorded on Friday night, but it's being heard on Tuesday night in the normal Best Show slot. It's a pre-record Best Show secret special recording session we're doing ahead of time. Not heard live on Friday. You can't hear this thing. So maybe that means nobody will call. What am I going to do then? Going to be in trouble. We'll get people to call. I'd give the number out, but it doesn't matter. Nobody can hear it. It's theoretical. I did just tweet it out. Tonight I'm going to talk about dream analysis with you, my friend, the best show listener. We'll have a good time. It'll be fun. We always have a good time here. Right, Mike? Yeah, my old boy, he's checked out. Yeah. Boy. I think these calendars are getting the best of them. We'll talk more about the calendars. Why am I talking more about these dumb calendars? Drives me nuts. Still don't have one, by the way. Still didn't see fit to bring one. So let's get the show started. It's, when I say the show, you're like, what show? I say to you, the show. And you're like, what show? I'm like, come on, it's the show. And you're like, what show? I'm like, what part of this do I have to explain? It's the best show. Show. What's up, everybody? My name's Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of the show. What is going on tonight? You know what? I don't know what's going on tonight because I did this 4 nights ago. This is happening on Friday night, but it's an all-new show. If you're hearing this, nobody's heard it until now. So I guess I'm like every other dumb podcast, huh? Right? Right, Mike? Pre-tape. Pre-tape, I could do pre-tape in my sleep. The way these things. You go live, you go out on the wire, man. You're up there on the high wire. These pre-tapes, you talk about a safety net. They're swaddling clothes. It's like a little baby being swaddled. The pre-tape. These podcasts, one's weaker than the next. I see it. I hear it. There's a few that got what it takes. A couple others could go either way. Most of it's just cowardly trash. I hear it. I know the moves. You don't think I see the moves? I see the moves. You know, we played Effed Up. New album. That's not Mike's speed. You like that? It's not his speed. He doesn't like rock music. He likes it if they would finally do a thing that was a 45-minute version of Ray Vaughan. I guess he'd enjoy that. But no, they're doing it now in 2018. Mike, your music, you dirty hippie, it's over. We won. We beat you hippies. We ran you out. Punks beat the hippies, Mike. But it's so weird because this album is it's called Dose Your Dreams. Some trippy biz, man, for Bleeped Up. It's not just, they're off on their own thing now. And that song's called Accelerate. It's on Merge Records. So good. Effed Up. Love them. I take inspiration from things like that. Cause you know why? Cause you know what they're doing? They're still pushing it. They effed up. They're still saying, where else can we go with? Oh. They give me a heart attack for a second. Studio. Good heavens. What's wrong? Oh my goodness. What's that? A tattoo? Studio just got a, showed off his flash and he just got some ink. What is that now? A tattoo of a sunspot?
Of a bruise.
He fell. Well, what I want to know is, how did you give that self to yourself in time for it to show so you could, A, skip the show on Tuesday? And I bet you...
Because
this is what I heard.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say who said it. Somebody said... Mike. It wasn't Mike because he was here.
Okay.
Somebody said they saw you at the movies on Tuesday night. They said they saw you at the movies.
No,
I'm telling you. They said they saw you at the... I don't know what to say.
I haven't seen a movie since the second time I saw
them. Well, that's not what they said. They said you were seeing Night School, an early screening of Night School. A friends and family screening of Night School. I would see Night School. I like Tiffany Haddish a lot. Like anything she's like. I like... Kevin Hart, I love Tiffany Haddish. How about you, Mike? You big Kevin... What's that? He is everywhere. Might as well list the movies Kevin Hart isn't in at this point, right? Yeah. She's very funny. I like Tiffany Haddish a lot. All right. So you stop flashing your fancy tattoo. I'm glad... Look, I'll say this. I'm glad to see you. You look like you're doing okay. Because you turfed out. Yeah. Hey, Pat, do you want to talk about your rock show? All right, why don't you come in? We'll talk about that. I'll take a call in the meantime. No, but effed up, I love it. The new album's great. They're pushing. Keep pushing, effed up. Best show, hi.
Hi, son, how are you?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Todd in Astoria. How are you?
Todd? I could not.
Todd, yes.
Todd, how are you, Todd, in Astoria? Astoria's hot, man. Right, Pat?
Oh, yeah.
Astoria's hot by all accounts. Right, Todd?
I've lived here for 10 years, and I don't go out. stay home.
You haven't seen any
changes. On a Friday night calling the best show.
You haven't seen any changes in a story in 10 years.
Oh, no, absolutely. It's become more like what Brooklyn was like 15 years ago. Sure. They're, you know, behind the times.
Right. Your phone's a little janky, so get somewhere where it can be clear, my friend.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's all right. That's all right. So what's
any
up?
Better?
Yeah, that's a little better. What's up, Todd? I said I would do dream analysis for people tonight, but I'll also talk about anything.
You know, when you called, I'm at the climax of watching Hereditary. My girlfriend said her book club tonight, so I decided to watch them.
And you're watching it by yourself?
Yes, I am.
You're scared that a ghoul is going to jump out and get you? I won't watch that movie. I'm scared to watch that movie.
It's pretty creepy.
How's the kid in it? How's the kid in it?
The kid? Kind of a goober.
The one who is in Jumanji.
Oh,
welcome
I did
to the
not
jungle. Right?
That's how that goes? He was also
on the hit HBO show Divorce.
Oh.
I met him on that, and he did not have the time of day for me back then. This is before Jumanji and before Hereditary. Still blew me off a little bit.
You'll meet him on his way down, Tom.
Nah. Wait, who's on their way down? Me? I did meet him on my way down.
Him. He'll meet you on his way back down.
Yeah, we'll see. Look, I don't care. What am I gonna talk to him about? Really? What am I gonna talk to a 17-year-old about at this point in my life? Right?
Yeah, but I'm nothing.
Whole lot of nothing. Good kid. Good guy. Very good actor. Just didn't see, he just didn't see a whole lot in me to talk to him about. Whatever. What am I going to do? Am I broken hearted? I'm not friends with that kid? What am I going to be hanging out with him? What's that, Mission Impossible?
No, you know, I had ordered food. I had ordered a delicious meal.
Do that again.
To watch
make that. Can you make that ring again?
Unfortunately, I can't. It's the buzzer downstairs.
Well, why don't you tell the guy to buzz it on the way out? I'm telling you. Seriously, tell him to get it on the way out. Let's hear this food order first.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can you hit the buzzer as you leave, please?
A long buzz.
Can you hit my buzzer again?
Long buzz. I want to make sure it works. Say that. Here we go.
Let's see if he does it.
You be quiet. Be quiet. He'll do it. You go do it.
Flame that. You want me to go downstairs?
Put your phone, leave your phone by the buzzer, and you go do it. Make sure you don't lock yourself out, though.
But also, make sure it's the length that it would be for Mission Impossible.
For that opening part of the Mission Impossible theme.
Okay. Bear with me for 1 second while I put some shoes on and find my keys.
Approximately 3 seconds.
Yeah, don't take your phone with you. Don't be...
I'm gonna put you on speakerphone, put you on a chair near the thing.
All right.
And I'll go down and do it.
All right. Okay.
3 second buzz.
Yeah.
Okay, you can hear me talking now?
I hear you.
All right, I'll go down.
I hope he locked himself out.
I did that tonight.
Here we go. Get ready. Here we go. Blunt bump 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 boo doo boo doo doo boo doo doo boo doo. That's pretty impressive. You know what the best part of this is gonna be? He's gonna come back. I hung up on him already. So now Pat Byrne is here.
Hey,
how are you, Pat? Producer one of the three producers of the best show.
Doing great.
And the people's favorite, Pat Byrne.
People's champ.
The other guys, if they were running for office, their consultants and advisors would say things about just like negative response. Yeah, you know what I mean? They'd get a lot of, like people like you, but there's people who don't like. Like, they're very polarizing, those two guys.
Yeah, there's people that don't like me, though.
No, they're well, not that I know. But there's people just like, Mike, I can't stand Mike. I love Dudio. I think Dudio sucks. Mike rules. I hate both of them. Just making people up now. But yeah, so you went the other day to go see a rock concert of a different stripe from what I hear.
Yeah, I wouldn't even call it a rock concert. I kind of thought I was going to see this show that would have a hero of mine and maybe ours, part of yours,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Do kind of, you know, do what he does best, which is go off book, go off script.
Yeah, and just, yeah. What? Who is this you're talking about?
I went to see a Broadway show, but it wasn't really a Broadway show. It was kind of a, well, it's a one-man show.
Oh, just say who it is. What are you getting paid by the dollar, by the word?
I saw Bruce Springsteen on Broadway, the show.
Yeah, now on a scale of 1 to 10, you've seen Bruce Springsteen before.
I've seen him in concert probably about 6 times or yeah, something crazy.
And the other thing is, you put this on Instagram the other day. There's like a legendary Bruce Springsteen show, the first show he did in 78 in Passaic at the Capitol Theater. People widely consider it to be his best show.
His best show. His singular best show. I mean, there's a lot of like legendary shows that get bootlegged and archived. Mm-hmm. But in the time I've really gotten to love and research a bit about Bruce and the E Street Band, this is the show. And my dad saw that show almost 40 years to the day that I went to see him do the Broadway show.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. It's really nuts. Yeah. And he wasn't even a fan. He was kind of just like a guy who had heard about him, who, much like my situation on Wednesday night, my dad's friend gave him an extra ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to the Capitol Theater that night, saw the opening night of those legendary Capitol shows.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and this is around the time our own AP Mike hung out with the boss at a record store.
In a record shop, yeah.
Isn't that unbelievable?
He's got that story, too.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, has he told that story on Mike?
Have you, Mike? He's talked, I think you've told aspects of it.
Half Hour Power or something?
Yeah. So you go see this show, and it's a little different, though, than the usual rockin' and rollin' Bruce Springsteen show.
Yes.
You said he came out on a Rascal?
Oh, gosh. So my roommate, Mitch, he had an extra ticket.
I got a brand new Rascal with the basket up front and the 6-hour charger, and they were gonna rascal in the streets. Right? Tonight, we're gonna go 3 miles an hour, rolling down 47th Street. 'Cause the autumn's here and the time is right to go rascaling in the streets.
I got a contractual obligation to do 60 Broadway shows. Yeah.
How many is he doing? Honestly?
I don't know. I mean, he's doing a lot. He still has like 2 months of them to go.
So you go and see it, and you were...
I was underwhelmed, but I was also, you know, I was watching a guy who I like, who I was pretty sure was doing a thing that he didn't really want to do
anymore. Like, he maybe the thrill was gone on it.
Yeah, yeah. I think he was like kind of, I think he thought it was a good idea, got through about 2 or 3 weeks of it, and then was like, uh-oh. Yeah. I got supposed to do this.
Yeah, I'm supposed to keep doing this
night after
December?
Night.
December?
Yeah. And so, you know, he's getting up there. He's pushing 70, and he seemed very tired, was kind of slowing down a little bit.
Yeah, he's born to run from that theater, so he doesn't have to do it anymore.
Yeah. No, he
How long is the show?
It's 2.5 hours of sitting down, no intermission.
It's a long time.
Yeah, like when you're seeing him at a show, and you've never seen him with the band, right?
I've never seen him, no. I've just never seen him.
Well, in the past, I've gone. I've had floor seats.
Mm-hmm. I got floor seats.
Floor seats. And I've gone, and it's just like, I don't get tired or bored. I don't even like really want to, like, I've seen almost a 4-hour show. I've never even been like, I should really go to the bathroom. Like, it's just exciting. You're there. Yeah. This show, I was squirming a lot. There was times where I felt, you know,
I'll fall asleep.
No, but I felt bored, and it also, but it, not to say it wasn't a bad show.
Uh-huh.
It was super emotional.
Yeah.
You feel like really mm-hmm. I held back tears at times.
Sure.
Because you think about stuff. But and he's yeah. like, you know, he's talking about his relationship with his dad and, mm-hmm. and his mom, his family. But he's doing versions of songs, but they're like not the full song. They're kind of like mm-hmm. half of the song or like mm-hmm. almost like a medley of a single song. Like he just okay. kind of like hints and that seemed like kind of a compromise. But I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. he's probably changed it up a little bit since the start of the show. But overall, it seemed like a one man show about the book. Like the book was the beginning, middle and end. He did about 7 or 8 songs throughout okay. and sure. brought his wife out. Patty did one mm-hmm. with him. I think that was the only song they did in like the mm-hmm. full entirety of it.
What was the best moment of the thing for you? What was the best moment that you were like, this is worth it to see him sing the song in front of me?
He did a version of 10th Avenue Freeze Out mm-hmm. as kind of the singular tribute to Clarence and the mm-hmm. band like as a whole mm-hmm. on just piano.
Sure.
And that was pretty cool. That was special. I mean, he always, when he does that song live, it's kind of the same thing. It's kind of, you know, tribute to the band. He tells the story about the band, starting the band, and then since Clarence has passed, he's kind of made it an extra special attempt mm-hmm. to kind of, you know, give him a nod. So,
yeah, yeah.
So that's always cool. I mean, I liked moments. I liked stories that I actually didn't hear before, mm-hmm. But a lot of it was just kind of like from the book.
You know, one time when we were working on Darkness, and I went to a record store. And then I ran into this guy. This kid was staring at me. Him and his friend. And they came up to me.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
You know what I think the weirdest part of Bruce Springsteen is his laugh. Is so strangely goofy. Like, he's like... right, Mike? Like, his laugh is just like... He'll be like, you know, I used to go to the thing to play pinball. I used to do other things with my hands, too.
It's almost as strange as his accent.
Yeah.
Like, I've never heard anyone else in New Jersey.
From New Jersey. I've been here my whole life. I don't hear that accent.
Yeah.
Because he's doing this. You know what I'll do? I'll say this, though. This guy gets a pass from me for life on anything.
Absolutely.
You grow up here.
Yeah.
You got that guy. Because you know what? You get all these other people, they're just like, oh, the Highway 9 with the thing. It's like, yeah, it's Route 9. What's the big deal? This guy sings songs about it. It's crazy. Yeah. It always freaks me out.
Yeah. How many highways have they put in songs?
Yeah. Right? Right, Mike? Guy's taking a picture of himself on the boy singing about Madame Marie or whatever. That's in Asbury Park. Right? Where's East Street, Mike? Belmar? Where? Yeah, Belmar. Yeah.
I'll say this, though. Bruce, he's not an actor.
Yeah.
I think he's kind of, he didn't realize how much of one he'd have to be in the show because he's literally probably doing almost the same script lines, mm-hmm. line for line yeah. with very little improvisation mm-hmm. every night. And that's not his thing. His thing is going out there, mixing up a set list every night and then just doing the same yeah. story, but improvising it based on what the crowd's giving back to him. So I was seeing a guy who was like, maybe not completely comfortable with his setup. Doing a show that he has to do for a while, and he just didn't seem like he was completely comfortable or having fun, and that's what kind of took me out of it a little bit more than just being able to enjoy it completely.
Sure.
But it was fun, and mm-hmm. and it, you know, it was a good night, and I thank Mitch for the ticket. One thing I always think is weird about seeing any Broadway anything is the merch, and mm-hmm. just like why aren't like who's going to walk out and like point at their like, you know, like
yeah.
track jacket that says Bruce Springsteen, the Broadway experience.
Yeah,
Broadway,
yeah. It's like the crummiest Bruce Springsteen
terrible.
Shirt.
And there's always like, yeah. even when I was a little kid, I just couldn't imagine like,
look, I thought the weirdest thing is Mike always walks around with his Human Touch. he has a hoodie, a Human Touch hoodie. I thought that was the weirdest thing, but the Bruce Springsteen on Broadway would be even weirder.
Like, would you walk around with a Lion King Letterman jacket?
No.
Would anybody?
What if he did this at the show? One of his greatest covers ever.
This is how it opens.
Yeah, the Bruce Springsteen on Broadway. I mean, this is
somebody held up a sign.
Yeah, finally Bruce Springsteen's doing Van Halen. What we've always waited for. Manages to somehow turn jump into a 7-minute song.
If you've ever wanted to hear Jump with 7 guitars,
yes,
here it is.
Then you can't hear any of them. It's like there's 7 people playing guitar on stage, but you only hear that keyboard and drums. Think you could take him in a fight, Mike? Yeah, no, he'd trash you. He'd trash any of us. You, Mike, you get to pick anyone from Bayonne to fight him and any and little Steven. Who wins? He still wins, yeah.
This was also the version of the E Street Band with like 6 backup singers, right? And like a French horn.
Yeah, and the dude from Rage Against the Machine.
Yep.
So, well, Pat, I'm glad you saw him. I'm sorry it wasn't the transformative experience you would have liked, but that's how the cookie crumbles.
Exactly. He'll tour again. We should all go see him.
All right. Well, thanks, Pat.
Yeah.
I'll see you soon, buddy. Thank you. Best Show, hi.
Hi there, how are you doing, Tom?
Good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Anthony from Connecticut.
Anthony, how are you tonight?
Doing well, just relaxing.
Love it. I love it. What's, what are you doing this weekend?
I have the weekend off. I'm playing a gig on Sunday for a high school reunion.
What's the gig?
It's just a high school reunion for one of my bandmates' mom's high school, 45th year anniversary.
And are you learning songs for them?
No, we're just playing originals.
Well, that's cool. You get to play original songs for a party like that? That's wild.
Yeah.
So, would you have a dream you want me to analyze? Well, what can I do for you?
Yeah, sure. So, my version of a nightmare or a reoccurring dream is when I used to play hockey when I was in my youth. I was a goalie, and I'm always getting these dreams where I'm playing and I'm like maybe half dressed, or I'm in a rush to get on the rink, or like I let a goal in, a real easy goal in, and it's like kind of anxiety ridden.
Yeah, so these dreams seem to be about a confidence and a lack of confidence and a like you doubting your ability. Is that fair to say?
Oh yeah.
Is that a recurring theme for you? in your life? Do you question your talent?
Either that, or it's like being unprepared.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, just the idea that the moment comes and you are not up to the moment.
Yeah.
You're half dressed. You're. Yeah. Well, what can we? What's the best version of you, my friend?
The best version.
When do you feel good? When do you feel like, nothing's gonna knock me. Nothing's gonna break my stride. To quote.
Probably. Well, I'm a preschool teacher, so I'm pretty good with kids and making them laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Especially like when we're out on the playground, you know. They want to be chased. They want me to run around and just being kind of goofy.
Sure. What's a good gag you do with a preschooler to get them to laugh? What do you punch yourself in the face?
My go-to is doing peekaboo.
Sure.
So like I stand against the wall, I'll show myself, and then I'll hide, and then I'll either go lower or higher, come back out. So they don't really don't really know where I'm going to be next. That really cracks the kids up.
That's pretty crafty on your part.
Yeah.
You ever get kicked in the shin by a kid? Or they're too young for that, right?
No, not kicked. But, you know, these kids, like 3, 4, 5, they'll grab at you.
I'm telling my favorite thing. My favorite thing is when a kid goes up to an adult and just hauls off, kicks him right in the shin. Love it. Nothing makes me laugh more than seeing a kid knock an adult down. You know what I mean? You get the instinct, right? You get it. You know I'd be funny to you'd have to laugh if a kid came up to you and just went boom right in the shin and you doubled over. You'd still have to be like, all right, fair enough.
Yeah. You can kind of embellish it, you know. They'll get a kick out of it. That's fine.
Good. Good. At least you got a sense of humor about it. Well, look, so your dream is, it's about being unprepared. It's about being, not rising to the moment. The goal goes past you. You fail in the, when it's go time, you don't come through.
That sounds about right.
Well, then tell yourself you're a winner. Scream it at yourself in the mirror like Dirk Diggler did.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. You have a great night.
All right.
Best show, hi.
Hi, are you analyzing dreams?
I am. I'll do that, or we'll talk about whatever you would like. To whom am I speaking?
Hi, my name is Chris. I'm calling from work, actually.
I know this guy.
Hi.
I know this Chris. Is this Spoonie?
This is Spoonie.
What's up? How are you?
I'm okay.
Remember this guy, Mike? Long time no here, right? I miss him. I missed him. But you know what? He's here. I'm not going to question it. I'm grateful he's here. That's all. How are you tonight, Spoonie?
Not bad. Do you actually? There was a hard moment when I couldn't call in anymore. I'd had a child, and I loved listening live, but something about the timbre of Gary the Squirrel's voice would wake my infant up no matter where she was in the apartment in relation to the radio.
That is,
I'm not casting any aspersions.
Yeah.
I love Gary the Squirrel.
Yeah. Well, you don't love him. He's given you a hard time over the years, I could see you. You were not. You might like Gary the Squirrel. This is time healing the wounds a little bit. But Gary, you and Gary had your ups and downs.
You know, I feel like I didn't offer Gary anything, and so something kind of switched in with Gary and I.
Mm-hmm. So, but what? Let's talk about the nice stuff.
Yeah.
What's going on? You got a dream you want me to analyze for you?
Yeah. Okay, so this has been happening. I've had this recurring dream, I think, for most of my life.
Okay.
if I'm in a dream mm-hmm. and someone hands me a plate of food, the food is going to be whole, raw fish.
Interesting.
And dead-eyed, slimy, and if I try to eat the fish, they're kind of like gelatinous and fatty. It's disgusting. It's all of my life.
Well, let's think about this. Let's go to the most basic interpretation of this would be, you're being given food, which is food symbolizes what now? Health and sustenance and strength and all these things. You're being given that.
Okay. Yeah.
But it seems like perhaps you are unable to accept that. You're unable to accept someone giving you something. Is this something that, does that seem like it is a fair, do you have a hard time receiving help or compliments or anything like that? Are you kind of a like the person who just you have to do it yourself and you have a hard time asking for help?
I do, and accepting gifts and compliments is something I've had to actively work on
through my
life.
It's Boonie. If you think about it, you get given food. Usually, oh, thank you. I'll eat that. But for you, no, I can't eat this. I can't eat this food. Look at this. This is inedible. This food does not go inside of me. This does not belong inside of me. I can't eat this. Right?
Yeah.
Think
that
about
feels
it.
Right.
Think about it. But you're working on it, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to say this. You, sir, Spoonie.
Yes.
I'm about to hand you a plate of food. And this fish on this plate is not gelatinous and slimy. This is, what do you like? You like coconut shrimp? What do you like?
Oh, I love a pad thai.
Okay,
that's in the coconut vein. All right,
pad thai with some. We'll throw some shrimps in there.
Yeah, why not?
Let's get the seafood in there, right? We'll get some nice seafood in there. That way, you're eating. It's warm and it's fresh. And it's clean. You are a good guy. I think you're hilarious. You're very talented. And you are one of the truly the most decent, good people I've ever met.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that.
Now,
I accept your kind words.
There you go.
And I will return these kind words by saying that you are also one of the funniest people on the planet. And I enjoy your company very much.
Oh, that's nice of you to say. Wait, hold on. Somebody's... Yeah? Okay. Who is it?
Oh, no.
Hey!
Gary!
Where's your kid?
Hey,
your
Gary.
Kid? What's your kid's name?
Her name is Nico.
Nico! Hey, Nico! Go to bed! Go to bed, Nico!
No, she's standing at the door
sleep.
Now, wants to know what's going on out here.
Nico, go to sleep. Nico, go to sleep. I'm helping you. I'm helping you, Spoonie. Hey, Nico, hit the hay. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Hey, Spoonie.
Hey, Gary.
How dumb is Mike? On a scale of 1 to 10, he's not listening.
He's not listening?
No.
I can speak
openly. Yeah, you won't hear this.
You know what? I'm going to say a 6.
6? Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah. Those fancy movies only get you so far.
I know, yeah. Because you go, oh, I read the book. The Cormac McCarthy book. Oh, I read the Cormac Blood Meridian. Yeah, well, when I read Blood Meridian, I found it superior to The Road. Who cares? Who cares?
You know where that book belongs?
Where?
In The Road.
In The Road, yeah. Good one. Good one, Boonie. All right. Get lost.
All right, see you, Gary.
Beat feet. Hey, Mike.
You like my impression of you? Yeah, I was reading Blind Meridian for the 400th time. I find it to be superior to The Road. It's so boring! These Cormac McCarthy fans! It's like it was... you gotta understand! He uses different punctuation! I don't know what it is! I don't get it! I don't want it! I don't need it! It sucks! Everyone knows it! Mike's sitting there, I can't understand this, but I've already read 400 pages of it. I'm gonna just say, it's about mortality. Is that about right? What? Yeah, okay. A lot of Spanish in it. Cormac with his eggheads. Phony baloney eggheads! Well, when I read Blood Meridian, I found it to be quite engaging. Who cares? If you're leaning, you could be cleaning. Get to work. Go wash someone's car. You know what I did today, Mike? I helped someone hail a cab. Yeah, you should have seen me. I climbed on their head. It was dancing around. Yeah, the cab pulled over. My good deed for the day. And I'm out of here.
There he goes. Best show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
Michelle the Oreo.
Oh, my goodness. It's Michelle the Oreo Head. First of all, I just got an email from you. Let me explain who this is, first of all. First of all, hey, can someone out there bring me a cold bottle of water, please? So this caller on the line, your name is Michelle, true or false?
True.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Don't film that. What are you filming that for? What could you possibly do with that film of this? And then I filmed the time that Dudio brought Tom a bottle of water. Unless he's trying to bust him for... I bet, you know, he's probably trying to get him for... He's probably trying to bust him on faulty insurance claims or something. Because he said he fell down the steps or something, but then I got reports he was at the movies... So he's probably trying to do... Pat's probably working for some insurance company. So you regularly discuss Oreos and the different flavors and the different types of Oreos that they come out with, because it's not just Oreos anymore. It used to be Oreo, and then it was a big deal when they did a double stuffed cookie, which has twice the goop in the middle. Then they did a vanilla one where they just made the cookie blonde instead of chocolate. And then it was like, oh, well, that's so many different kinds of Oreos. Yeah, then they started making a different one of different flavors every month. So now
Yes. You
were about, you said, I want to try these new flavors, but and I said, I'll pay for it. Best show will pay for it. Now, what are these flavors, Michelle?
Did
they show up?
Fresh off the boat. Hello?
They showed up.
Oh, yeah, they showed up.
Okay.
And fresh off the post office, the mail truck, I got hot chicken wing and wasabi.
Hot chicken wings and wasabi, and these are two different ones.
They're two different ones. They're not together one.
And they are not manufactured. These are not American Oreos. These are not sold in stores, grocery stores in the United States.
Correct.
They are made where?
I'm gonna guess China. I can't read the box, but it does say MDLV.CN. So I'm assuming it's still Mondelez. So shout out to Mondelez.
Yeah, shout out to them. So then you, the cookies show up.
Yeah.
Have you tried them?
No, I have not tried them. And I also have, I have my, my agent slash, first discourager of buying these cookies on the line, Connor, cause, you know, he should be here for this moment.
Do you have the cookies in front of you?
I have the cookies in front of me.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness. Are you ready, Michelle, the Oreo head, to experience these cookies live for the first time as we speak?
Yes, I think so. What, I think I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Which one are we starting with?
You know what? You tell me.
No, you tell me. It's your. First of all, do you have something, a palate cleanser handy? Do you have a water or something like that?
I have some grapefruit seltzer, but I should probably get some water. So I feel like, yeah, I'm going to try to make this as much, as little ASMR as possible. So I apologize if you can hear the water being poured coming from my refrigerator.
That's okay.
All right. Here we go. All right. Getting some water. Okay. All right, so I'm gonna do the chicken. I'm gonna do the hot chicken first because that's what I'm most excited for.
Here we go. Here we go.
Okay. All right. I'm opening the box.
This is exciting.
All right. So the way they package it is, it's not like a standard Oreo. It comes in like a cardboard box, and then there's two individually wrapped packages which contain. Let's see. I think there's like four or five cookies in each little sleeve here. All right. Yeah, there's one, two. There's five cookies in each sleeve. It smells like a cookie, but then it's like, you know those cheese whiz things that used to come with a red stick?
Yeah, like the little, like when you buy a little cheese thing that you do the spreading of the cheese onto the cracker.
Yeah, that's what the filling smells like. Not really getting a chicken whiff.
Okay, so let's see what this tastes like. Go ahead.
All right. I'm going to go. I take a little of the cream first, so. Oh, wow, that cream tastes straight up like the cream. Ooh, it's spicy. Okay. It tastes like on those Austin, like those cheese cracker things, but then it immediately gets a little spicy, and now it tastes like chicken grease. It's really weird. Now I'm gonna take a bite with the cookie, so full bite. It's really weird. I feel like these two flavors shouldn't be together.
So how is it?
It's not very good. It's like I enjoy these two things separately, but together it just tastes, well, you know what? I'm gonna take that back. Now it's tasting like, if you've ever had like chili infused chocolate, which I kind of like, now I'm getting that toward the end. So, not terrible, but not my first choice.
So it reminds you of what now? Those crackers
like,
that you'd spread
they're like
on
orange crackers, and they come in like a six pack.
Yeah, where
you have them like in your lunchbox, yes. And that like hard artificial cheese in the middle. That's like the first taste. It's like texturally on par. But then you take a little bite and you're like, whoa, there's the spice. There's the kick. And then it's like eating like the bottom. Like if you go to KFC and you get the spicy popcorn chicken and you get that little grease at the bottom,
uh-huh.
That's like what it finishes with. And then it just lingers.
So report card grade, what do you give it?
I give it a C minus.
C minus.
Yeah.
All right.
Not the worst thing I've ever eaten, but very strange.
All right, now try the, let's get a little palate cleanser in there.
Oh, yeah, let me take a sip of water. It's very spicy. Like, I didn't even finish the cookie. It's so spicy.
Spicy Oreo.
And I can't even read the ingredients. So I don't know what. It might be like an ancho chili spice. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah. That's...
Okay. Time for wasabi. Again, same packaging. Very end. Pretty good for portion control.
Five cookies to a little area, to a little section?
Yeah, to like a plastic, like individually wrapped thing, and then there's two of them.
Okay.
Okay. So this one just smells like the chocolate cookie. It's a very nice shade of green. It's like a, it's a wasabi green color cream we got going on here. And it doesn't really smell like anything, so maybe this one's more mild. I'm going to try the cream. Oh, wow. It really tastes like wasabi, but it's not as spicy as the chicken wing one. It's like, okay. So the cream is like wasabi, but also like a little bit, like the after, like the finishing note would be like spicy mustard you get with like your soup from the Chinese restaurant.
Uh-huh.
It's got that going on. So now I'm going to try it with the cookie. I have a feeling it's going to be a weird combination. It just... I don't really know how to describe this one. It's just like, it's like if you take a stale cracker, right?
Uh-huh.
And like it's a stale whole wheat cracker. And you spread some hard wasabi on it, but it's like really mild wasabi. That's
uh-huh.
what this tastes like. But it works better than the spicy chicken one because the spice doesn't linger. So it's like the
All
cookie
right.
kind of cuts the wasabi a little bit.
Okay. All right. So report card grade for that one?
I give this one a C.
A C. Okay.
Just a C.
All right. Well, look, email me the amount that I owe you for these cookies, and I will send, I will PayPal you later.
Okay. And then do you want any of the leftovers?
No, I don't. Those are for you and your friends and family to enjoy.
Oh, wow. That's so nice.
All right. Okay. I got to say... When you described that spicy chicken one, I could have thrown up. I'm not joking. That made me nauseous, and I do have a knot in my stomach now from how gross that one sounds.
Hey, just remember, this stuff's in my belly, not yours.
Yeah, but I'm the one hearing it. If we're talking about it and you're describing it right in my ears like this, I could have barfed.
I'll let
but
you know in like 2 hours if I barf, but I think I'll be okay.
But I didn't. I appreciate this, Michelle. Well, let's keep doing this.
Okay. This was good.
All right.
There's no place I'd rather be on my Friday night,
right.
In all honesty.
You're sweet to say that. All right. I will talk to you soon.
Okay.
How about that, huh? You like that, Mike? Could have thrown up. I don't know what did it. I don't know what made me want to barf. Does sound disgusting, right?
You're going to love this. Just love it.
Come on, moment of glory! Let the cream rise to the top, oh yeah.
That cream means nothing!
I'm gonna murder someone. I'm gonna murder someone. That bleeping soundboard crashed again. I updated everything, made sure it was all done. Oh, no, everything's fine. I wrote these bums an email. Hey, your soundboard crashed. I mean, I paid for this. You know, there's not some free. Did I hear from them? No. I'm not putting myself on the market. Anybody got a soundboard that's good? I'll jump ship. You hear me? I'll go to a different soundboard. Why? Okay. All right, you could have told me that. You didn't have to throw the door open like Kramer. I thought it was...
It's a good soundboard.
Kramer doesn't throw the door open as hard as you just threw the door open. He's got a good soundboard. Good. Good, I love it. Studio's on the job. See that, Mike? You could take a page from this guy's book. Watch and learn, Mike. Watch how Dudio does it.
Quiet, isn't it? I said. Quiet, isn't it?
You're going to love this. Just love it.
Sound like we heard two horns. Two separate horns go off.
Gonna bring, but tonight the fine people at Fox, they pulled some strings and they brought in an expert who's actually from the future. Please welcome Coreplex 8342. yeah, that's him. Well, great to meet you, Mr. Coreplex.
Hey, you too, Steve. I'm a big fan, but please call me Corp, okay? Mr. Coreplex is my dad's name, and he says hi, by the way.
Okay, Corp, oh, no! Let's do it.
We made it. Oh, my God. We saw it.
Oh, no!
She loves to laugh, she loves to sing, she does everything. She loves to move, she loves to groove, she loves a lot of things. All night, oh, every night. So hold tight, baby, hold tight.
Taking a paint away from an artist. It's like taking paints away from a bleeping artist. You get it, Mike. Mike gets it. Best Show, hi.
Hi, Tom.
Yes, hello. To whom am I speaking?
This is Courtney in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Courtney in Las Vegas, Nevada. What's up in Las Vegas tonight?
Good evening. It's dusk in the desert. I'm driving to my sister's house to give her her Golden Knights jersey.
To get rid of what?
Her Las Vegas Golden Knights jersey. Have you heard about this hockey team yet?
Where are you going with that? Are you going to take it to the Pawn Stars?
No. No way. They can't have it.
You're not gonna sell it. What do you say you're getting rid of it? What are you doing?
No, I went and got my sister's embroidered. She got a jersey for her birthday, and I got it embroidered for her.
Okay. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Because yeah. that's the hockey team that's there now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they went from not existing to becoming
conference champs.
Yes.
It's very exciting. I learned the game of hockey. I've never watched a hockey game before, but the vibe is high.
I love it. You all fired up now out there? You got hockey, then soon you'll have a football team, and it's just...
Yeah.
It's going to be nuts.
We're becoming a real city.
Yeah. Imagine, and then you got who's doing residencies there coming up? Who's doing a Las Vegas residency?
Gaga.
Lady Gaga's doing one. Mm-hmm. Who else?
Queen with the American Idol dude.
With Adam Lambert.
Yes.
That's exciting.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Yeah.
But
and then you've got the great show Love, starring the Beatles.
Yeah, I've seen that. I saw that a few years ago. It's really cool.
It is.
Very visual.
Yeah, I saw it too. So what's going on tonight, Courtney?
So I wanted to ask you if you've heard the new Lana Del Rey single, Mariner's Apartment Complex.
I've heard she has two new records, two new singles.
Yeah, uh-huh. That one's really good, though.
Yes, that's the first one that came out, Mariner's Apartment Complex, is that what it's called again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so great. I love it. It's like it's stirring because it's like a song of it's like usually her songs are not about her,
right?
Help like it's not about her giving strength. Her songs a lot of times are not about her providing comfort.
Yeah,
in that way, it's a very beautiful song.
Yeah, I love it. I had it on repeat all day today in the car driving, so I was thinking about that, and I love when you talk about her because I'm a super fan, and I loved when you were singing her summer songs.
What's your favorite song by Lana Del Rey, Courtney? Let's say at the same time, on the count of three, we're going to say our favorite song by her.
Okay.
One, two, three. Love.
Sherry.
Okay.
There's too many.
No, there is too many. There are too many. There's the thing is, it's a trick question because they're all good,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I was thinking maybe we could like, I don't know if it's
your phone's breaking up a little bit.
Oh, is it good?
It's breaking up a little bit. Let's hear you now. Oh, now it sounds a little better. I'm telling you, anybody else I would have hung up on, you want to talk about Lana Del Rey, we'll figure this out. We'll figure this phone connection out. So go ahead. No! No! Yeah, that's right, Ozzy. That's how I feel. I wanted to talk about Lana Del Rey, and then the phone line conked out. So how do I feel?
Oh, no!
Best Show, hi.
Hey, this is Mike from Omaha. What's up?
Mike from Omaha. What's going on in Omaha tonight, Mike?
Well, not a whole lot. Just, you know, excited for the weekend.
Omaha, home of?
Bright Eyes and Curses.
That's right. Bright Eyes, Connor Urbst. Right? What's your favorite Bright Eyes album? There's only one right answer on this one. You'll get it. You'll get it.
Lifted?
What's that?
Lifted?
You said Lifted?
Yeah.
That's the right answer. That is the right answer.
Good, good.
It's a good album.
Yeah.
So what's going on tonight, my friend?
I just had one for the topic.
Ah, dream you need to analyze. Is that where you're at?
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear this dream.
Yeah, I've got this recurring dream lately that, like, it's always in the last hour of my sleep where I'm, like, you know, running late and everything's taking longer than it should, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, like, throw on, you know, shirt, you know, brush my teeth, fill my hair, but it's just all taken forever, you know, it's like so slowed down.
Stuff is like you like it's happening, but it's slower in your than it should be.
Yeah, you know, like putting your, you know, like everything just takes extraordinarily way too long to be realistic, but you're still just like, oh man, I'm running late.
Hmm. Do you feel like life is passing you by in any way?
No, I don't know. Yeah. Not really.
Well, things are going slow. Do you have that feeling that you're missing out on anything?
No.
No? Do you have regrets?
No.
Nothing haunting you like that? All right. Let's see. So,
you know, it's like, you know, it just gets tougher. Like, you know, like, I would say, you know, like, putting the pants on is the hardest part because, you know, It just is the worst part of the dream.
Do you feel like you're getting older? Is there any component of that, like mortality?
I think the real problem is that I've got e-cigarettes.
Yeah, but it's not you though. That's the thing. It's not you. You know that. First of all, I was just saying to myself, if this guy is going to do this, it's not him. So he's welcome. He's welcome to do it. Because you're not him.
You know, yeah. It's been old for a while.
It's fine. It's fine.
You know.
But you know what? I caught you like a Pokemon, and now I'm going to throw you in the poke. What do they, when you catch a Pokemon, what do? You put them in a little cage? What do they do with that?
They have the Pokeball.
The ball. So that's where they go, inside the ball.
Yes.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right, get off my phone. Still don't like it. So Mike was asking me earlier about this Kurt Vile song, right? Because I do. I believe this is me, Mike. This is the best show. Because KV named a song after me on the Red Apples for Tom Sharpling. It was a nice thing. Then he does the record with Courtney Barnett, and he sings a song where he mentions, cheer up, Tom Sharpling, right? And when we go see him live, where he's in Jersey City playing live, and then Mike, oh, it's my one moment. Mike gets up, him and Jell-O Man. They couldn't give me one moment. They made it their moment. The Laurel and Hardy of Jell-O shots. AP Mike. Shrimp. If that was a cop show, it would be Shrimp Connect and Jell-O Man. The two of them driving around in his windowless panel van, solving crimes. But listen to this, Mike. This is a new song, Bass Ackwards, from the album that comes out in a couple weeks.
I was on the radio talking with a friend of mine. There was a no format because, well, we like it like that. He was out of his mind and I was way out of mine. Then everything went backwards with words coming out backwards. And I appreciate him to the utmost degree.
Right, Mike? What do you think? Yeah, what radio? Yeah, what do you think he's talking about? Yeah, you're taking the leap. What do you think he's talking about? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm out of my mind. He was out of his, too. It's fine. You get in here, you go nuts. I like how Mike has... Is that how you like being described as being out of your mind? Like Mike's trying to make me start to... Yeah, you're right. I don't like that. I'm supposed to call. Hey, Kurt, I got to talk to you about something. Like, yeah, I got to say my feelings are really hurt. I was like, what is that? He's a bleep stirrer. Right? Stirring up that bleep. Can't resist it. Don't worry. Yeah, don't worry, Mike. Somebody write a song about you someday. Yeah, you get your jollies. You see your massive shirt on the magic show. Everybody, did you see the massive shirt on this magic show? Yeah, I did. Because every one of you sent it to me. Anything happens, and I love it. Look, I'm not saying don't do it, but it's amazing how everybody gets the info at the same moment and then thinks of me at the same moment. I love it. I'm not putting this down. I'm celebrating it. But it is shocking when everything pours in at the same time, because then it's like, oh, this is just immediately in the zeitgeist of things. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom, this is Brett calling from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Brett from Lincoln, yeah. Nebraska. Second call from Nebraska tonight. How about that?
Wow.
We had a call from Omaha earlier.
Cool.
So Lincoln, Nebraska. How far is Lincoln from Omaha, Brett?
That's a 45-minute drive. About...
What are the differences between Lincoln and Omaha, if you had, in your opinion?
I think Omaha has some cooler scenes, music-wise, you know, like the Saddle Creek Records. You got your
sure.
Bright Eyes, Cursive, all those bands.
All right, what's the best Bright Eyes record? There's only one answer. What is it? Say it.
Wide Awake, It's Morning.
Oh, come on, you can do this, Brett. You can do it. Come on.
Lifted.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Do you like Wide Awake, It's Morning?
Oh, I like it. Yeah, I like Lifted. Lifted's the one that really, I like how Lifted is just kind of like one of those records where it's just like everything is kind of dumped out on the table. It's messy.
Uh-huh.
Like how messy it is.
Yes, very.
I like when he's messy. I wish he would be messier sometimes.
Yeah. But it's cool when bands come to town, like Lord was in Omaha,
mm-hmm.
and the group Churches. Like... They grew up on that music, so they're like so excited to see Omaha,
mm-hmm.
to see the spots where they're, I don't know, musical heroes.
Yeah,
grew up.
And
so
meanwhile,
cool.
you're just like, yeah, this is where we live. I don't know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
So, Brett, to what do I owe the pleasure of this call?
Okay, so. I've been getting this ad on websites, and I think I need to share it with you. Let's it's called cameo.com, and what it is basically D-list celebrities that will...
Oh, Brett, we have been talking about this, Brett.
Oh, you have?
We have. My goal...
Oh, good.
My goal is... I want AP Mike to start doing these things, but not through Cameo. I feel like we could just sell them directly.
Okay.
Like, it was just like, hey,
Keith, I want to say congratulations on your job promotion. It's very exciting. And you did a good job. And make sure you order an AP Mike calendar.
Are you going to order one of these calendars, Brett?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ugh. Why?
Well,
why? Why are you, why on earth would you go to apmike.bandcamp.com and order an AP Mike calendar that he will sign for you if you specify a birthday on the thing or whatever? Like, he'll sign that date. Why? Why would you that?
Signing the date, I think, is what puts you over.
Is it? Yeah, it was my idea.
It's a personal touch.
I'll say this, Brett. I said to Mike, hey, what if you sign people's birthdays on a thing? He goes, yeah, I don't know about that. The next week he comes in and he says, and then I started telling people I'll sign their birthday on the thing. And now we're selling them like hotcakes. I'm like, yeah, that was my idea. And he goes, yeah. As if I was trying to horn in on his action.
Right.
This calendar. And this is what gets me about it. It's like Mozart and Salieri. I see the calendar and I'm just like, wait, this is this guy's calendar? It's great. And it haunts me. I'm up in the middle of the night thinking about his calendar.
Now I'm torn. Now I gotta do it.
No, you gotta order it. You should order, you should order two of them.
Yeah, I got a birthday next week, so yeah, I would then be awesome. I get the calendar, then on my birthday, we get this cameo side business going.
Yeah.
Have Mike send me a message.
Would you make this guy a video, Mike? For $30? This guy doesn't have the equipment. Great. Dudio will do one for $15, he said.
Dude?
Why don't we do a package deal? The two of you together in the video for $40, then Dudio films it. Mike, you don't have to worry about stuff, but you're bringing your star power. You bring your star power to it, but you're giving 25% of it to Dudio for the film. Well, that's not fair. If you do it, Mike, you get $25, Dudio gets $15. How's that sound? Or $22.50 and $17.50. That's the split. Because look, dude, Mike just has seniority on you. But if you're doing the tech stuff, it almost should be equal. But I still have to give the nod to Mike because he's AP Mike. He's been here for 15 years. You've not been cursed with that. You've been exempt from that curse, Dudio. So, if you want to order a video, $40, it'd be, hey, this is Dudio. I want to say, want to just let you know, Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla, is going to be coming through town. That was him when he was a DJ. When this Dudio was a DJ, and he was in Virginia. For some reason, he was telling me it was West Virginia. I did some research. He was fibbing about that. It's Virginia. I don't know why he would start changing the story. I don't know why, unless he was trying to pass himself off as some country dude or something. Maybe he's going to make a run at that audience. But he's from Virginia. And you get him. He used to do a DJ thing when he was in Atlanta, and he would talk about Sarsaparilla, the singing gorilla, and he'd do a rock block. Here's some 38 special. We got an exciting thing. The bassist from Cinderella is going to call in later. We're going to talk to him about his solo album. God knows what this guy was doing. So he's got that.
We need those tapes.
What's that?
Yeah, get the tapes. I want to see it all.
Oh,
that'd
we'll
be great.
Get the tapes. Don't worry. I got a couple people working on the tapes. Actually, here is a tape. I've been given a tape of him. Of him in the studio. I'm not going to play it though. I actually should play. This is Dudio on the radio, going back to earlier days. This is him.
Kids are going to be a robot in 20 years from now. It's a joke.
They've taken the imagination out of that. It's 100%
right. Yeah, you know,
right.
My uncle was, like, I was looking, my uncle, God, let him rest in peace, was, mm-hmm. like, vice president of Hasbro. You
that
know,
right.
my uncle was, like, I was looking, my uncle, God.
I can see why he's not doing radio anymore. What are you doing, your show for a baby? Google Gaga? I've been given another clip. This is him talking. Let's check this out. This is Dudio on the radio. Hold on. Weird. That's my favorite band, Dudio on the radio. Let's check this out here. This is him.
Well, I guess it's official. We're now on Facebook. I really wasn't sure about this at the start. But then a friend of mine said something that just made all kinds of sense. She said, think of it more as a conversation. Ugh. I like that. But I'm already finding out on my own that it's wiping the walls out between you and me, and I really like that. It allows us into each other's worlds, or I guess in my case, a hotel room. When I think about things I want to post cool stuff, slick stuff, neat stuff. But most of the stuff I'm going to post is going to be raw stuff like this. This is just who I am. So if this is truly a conversation, then I say let the conversation begin.
Oh, yeah. No wonder he's not on the radio anymore. Cool stuff, raw stuff. Yeah. So, look, you contact me. If you want this video, I'll set it up. I'll set it. But it, look, just buy the calendar for starters.
Okay. Well, that's a definite.
All right, buddy. Do you have a dream you want me to analyze?
A dream?
You don't have to. Don't worry. We had a nice talk.
So, you know how people have their teeth falling out?
Mm-hmm.
My dreams are constantly, my teeth are like crushed into the back of my mouth. Like it's, I don't know, you got like something pushing it so hard. They're just not falling out, but they're just getting jammed to the back of my mouth.
Well, let's think, that probably has to do with you use your mouth for talking. So there's got to be some mm-hmm. version of you don't feel like you're able to express yourself, like you feel limited and or not, you're not able to say what you need to say, or you're not allowed to say what you need to say. Is this fair to say?
That's a very good description, yes.
You probably have some issues with needing to be honest and express yourself, but you're struggling with whatever is impeding that. This is how it's coming out in your dream, is you're not being allowed to talk.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'll go for that.
There you go, buddy.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye. I don't know. These Dudio clips are weird. I don't even know where this guy, like, what was this guy thinking with that? Somebody sent me another one. I got to check this out. It's another tape of Dudio on the radio.
We want as many people as possible to be a part of this wonderful comeback by this amazing band. So for a $1 pledge, you will receive a 4-part download of the audio interviews with the Rascals conducted by myself and Dave Marsh. For $25, you will receive a digital high-def video download of the entire show. And that will be yours exclusively, because it will be a long time before it ever gets released, if it ever gets released. And you will receive the audio interviews as well. For a $50 pledge, you will receive an exclusive DVD and audio CD of the show. Again, long before it's ever released, if it's ever released.
What is he doing? He's selling downloads of his own show? A weird dude. Wait, what is that?
The wait is finally over. The Chicken Shack is now open for takeout.
Hold on a sec. Now I actually have a real one? Holy crow. I don't know what the... I think I liked it better when I was saying the ones were fake. Mike, Should I go forward? Am I going to think differently of this guy? No. Well, Mike, can't get your...
I heard a nasty word in there.
All right, calm down, Al Goldstein. Well, this is, I'm going to just give you a chance, Studio. All you've heard all I've played so far, right? Yeah. Say the word. We don't go past that. We went 5 seconds in. Is that enough? Yeah. Okay, that's it. No, no, no. I want, we need to dole this out slowly. So we'll listen to the first 5 seconds one more time. And just over the future of this show, we will. Here we go.
The wait is finally over. The Chicken Shack is now open for takeout and delivery. You're...
All right, that now gives me. The wait is finally over. Although the crazy thing is, I'd do that job. If they were like, hey, you want to do a voice for this Chicken Shack thing? Yeah, I'll do it. Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
My name's Amy. I'm in Austin. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
How are you, Amy?
I'm good. I'm so happy to talk to you.
Yes, as am I. What's going on tonight?
So I heard the topic is you're going to be the dream interpreter.
Sure, I will. I will take a crack at figuring some of your dreams out.
Okay, I have a lot of weird dreams. Last night I dreamt that I encountered a demon in a house I was in multiple times, had an interaction with this demon, fought it off somehow. And then all of a sudden this Jack dude shows up and he's going to be my savior.
Hold on. Let's go. Let's go half speed with this now. You're in your dream. A demon shows up.
Yes.
What's a demon look like again now?
It kind of had like a muscly face.
You better not say e-cigs for life. I'm telling you, Amy. If you say e-cigs
no,
for
I don't,
legs.
I don't have them for legs and I smoke real cigarettes. I'm not a robot.
You sure you don't smoke those, you're down there in Austin, right? You know.
I mean, yeah.
You just went.
I'm not, not in front of the man.
No, look, of course not. Don't worry. We're being humorous tonight. Of course you don't do that.
Yeah, you're not a narc.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, Tom doesn't care.
I get these people, they're like, oh, what, they think I'm like some kind of, they think I'm Cotton Mather all of a sudden. Like I'm some Puritan. I'm going to, like, rat them out with stuff. First of all, everybody should do what they want to do. If you're hurting people, then you don't do it. If it's your thing, go do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't
care. You should be a
counselor. What do I care? So go ahead. So now, so in this dream, he's, the demon is.
So I fight off this demon multiple times. I'm not going to get into the details because that's just boring.
Well, what are you fighting? Just tell me how you're fighting him. Do you recall that?
Yeah, it was very violent and very physical, very creepy feeling.
Okay.
And like, definitely like woke when I woke up, had the, like a gross feeling about it. Mm-hmm. But mostly because the man who tried to like save me from this demon afterwards, like this Jack man who's trying to mansplain the whole situation to me. And he's like, oh, that's a really powerful demon, and you're still not cured, and they're still going to come back. And the demon did come back, but I beat them on my own. But then this man was still in my dream trying to tell me what to do. And so I kicked him out of wherever I was staying in my dream. And before he left, he's like, I have to give you this medical treatment. And I used to work at a sexual health treatment. Treatment center,
okay.
And he gave me the exact treatment for gonorrhea in my dream.
Okay.
And then I woke up.
So your past was kind of bleeding in a little bit, like your past work experience bleeding in to the thing. So that might have just been kind of the way elements from another part that have nothing to do with the dream kind of drift in. You ever have that happen? Makes no sense.
Oh, all the time.
But it's just running through your brain, so your brain kind of smashes mm-hmm. them all together. I will say this. You're saying the guy was mansplaining the thing about the demon? Dude, the dude wasn't wrong, though. Another demon showed up. Guy knew what he was
that
talking
is true.
About. Guy did know what he was talking about. You're like, yeah, this guy's mansplaining. The demon's gonna, another demon's gonna come. And then you're like, yeah, and then another demon came. I think that was less.
But I still feel like he was wrong.
No, that was less mansplaining and this guy warning you. You might have to.
But after he did that, and then the demon came again, but uh-huh. then in the dream, like how he was treating me, he was like pushing me around.
Oh, well, look, he shouldn't
and
be.
Doing other...
okay. He shouldn't be pushing you around. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. But if the dude's saying, like, hey, look out, another demon's on his way. And then you're just like, tap the brakes on the man. Oh, what's that?
He didn't prepare me enough, I don't think.
Okay, look. This is what I would say. Demons are swirling around a lot of us right now. We're all seeing a lot of demons and feeling the presence of a lot of demons out there. They're out there, and they take different
shapes. Oh, they're real.
They take different shapes. Like Rick Ross said, the devil is alive. Remember when he said that?
Well, I remember when Robert Pollard said demons are real, and they're standing still.
Mm-hmm. I like when Rick Ross said it. I like Robert Pollard.
Stronger presence.
Remember when Rick Ross was a prison guard, and then, like, pretended he wasn't. Remember that, Mike?
Didn't he join Weight Watchers?
Rick Ross.
You're thinking of
DJ Khaled. He's the
or
Weight
he
Watchers
went on
guy.
Some Weight Loss journey.
Well, DJ Khaled is the Weight Watchers guy, and it's he's the guy who said he at the I'm going to keep this family friendly. When it comes to bedroom activities, it is a one-way street for DJ Khaled.
Julie Klausner's big Take Down DJ Khaled campaign is something I care a lot about, and I support her 100% on removing him as a platform for that.
I do, too. It might not be the issue on the forefront of my life right now, but I'm on Julie's side with it. I'm more interested in Rick Ross because you know what Rick Ross says, Mike. He says that. I'll see you later, Pat. He says that.
Every day I'm hustling.
Are we waiting for Mike or me?
Every day I'm hustling. 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 Every day I'm.
I forgot which part. Are you hustling every day? I missed whether you were or not. He only said it 6,000 times. Every day I'm hustling. So
not every day. Not every day in prison.
Well, he's hustling if he's working at the prison. He's hustling. So, yeah, you, Amy, you had the dream. Everybody's feeling the heat right now.
Yes, it's a rough day, or yesterday was a rough day, which I felt probably influenced my dreams. I watched the whole hearing at work, unfortunately.
We don't have to talk about it. It's the worst thing ever. This is all I'll say about it. I watched that for a little bit. You know what I did? I stopped. I shut it off. I wrote a check. I drove it to the food bank and said, here. Here's money.
Good.
This is what the world needs now. This is what I'm going to say to everybody. Yeah, things are terrible. Of course they're terrible. And real people are really victimized by the world. And you can sit and watch things and tweet about things. And that has its place in things. But you also that can't be the extent of what people do. You can't tweet and then just wait to vote for things. You also have to like give your time and give your money to people that need help.
Yes. Thank you for saying that, because that is incredibly important, because you can't just be a mouthpiece in your own circle or community. You have to actually
give to the things
that you care about.
Yeah, there's no shortage of tweeters right now. We've got we've got those jobs full right now. We need people to get up and actually do their thing and actually do some stuff, whether it's contributing their energy or contributing their money. That's how things get changed, and that's how people get helped.
Yes, agreed. As someone who has worked in social services my entire life, I am very glad to hear you say that to the audience, and I know everyone who listens to that show cares a lot about their community, but you can always do more.
Of course. And I want to say this, you know, the people, you worked in social services, I think you know, when you get these people with when they do like a food bank and people are like, oh, I'm going to go to give food to the thing. And it's just like, then they drop, what do they put in the thing? Cranberry sauce. Onion soup. They put the things they don't want that's like stuck in their closet. You think these poor people want to just eat onion soup and cranberry sauce all day long?
It's like when Marge Simpson prayed when she thought the entire community of Springfield was going to get destroyed. Like, I will no longer just give pumpkin spice mix or whatever to Springfield.
If you want to help people and it's with the hunger stuff, you help with your time or your money. The canned stuff, if you're going to just drop trash in the thing, that takes somebody else has to go sort through that trash now. Go like, we can't just give people onion soup.
Yes, and check the dates on those cans, people.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Probably 4-year-old cans of soup you're donating. Bank,
it doesn't matter. You're not helping if you go in your closet and dust off a can of something expired. The goal is not to get it out of your closet. The goal is to get that food in the stomach of someone that needs it.
Yes.
It's not like, and look, when I was a kid, it would be just like, yeah, let's do the food bank thing. What don't we want to eat? And just grab, some stuffing. Like, here's some stuffing, some onion soup, some cranberries, a couple cans of cranberry sauce.
Cranberry soup.
Yeah. What family is sitting around? Don't worry. Don't worry. Our nightmare's over. Kids, tonight we're going to eat 4 gallons of onion soup, and we have 30 cans of cranberry sauce.
Yeah, no. That's all you need, nutritionally and otherwise.
You write a check. You go down, you volunteer, you go in, or you try to arrange for them to get some real food, because if people are compromised, they need real food to help them get out of the place they're in. They have to eat. They have to eat real food. Everybody wants everybody to turn their lives. Why can't they turn their lives around stuff? You know what? Well, if they're not strapped for food, or have a food panic going on in their life, and they can get some real food so they can have some normalcy, then that's literally the first step in turning someone's life around. Is they are fed.
And also that they have choices beyond what's given to them, which is cranberry sauce and onion soup. They want to have real meals that they can make decisions of what's on their food, what they like and what they don't like, and that empowers people.
Yes.
Those little things make a big difference. So
100%.
Anyone out there who wants to donate to a food bank, consider what you like to eat.
Yes.
And what you actually want to eat. And donate that.
But the thing I'll say is, like, working at this food bank I volunteer at, it's like they get food.
Do you ever go out when you volunteer? Can I ask you that?
No, I generally go. I'm usually sorting stuff on premises is what I end up doing. Like, lift, because then I can lift stuff. I can move stuff. Mm-hmm. They just see the big lummox like me, and they're just like, why don't you go move some frozen meat around? That's when they see me coming. That's what they're just like. They're like, yeah, go pick that up and put that over there. I'm like, yeah, okay.
You just get that big frozen rib from the back.
Absolutely.
Punch it.
But you know what it is? They make deals with places and they get food brought in. They like their they're breaking their backs to get these things from these grocery stores and from wherever, from chain stores and places like that that have food, and they get stuff. And that, so they do have stuff coming through. They need help with the sorting and the distribution of it and all that part of it. It's like they don't, they do need people to donate stuff, but they really need help with volunteering to get the stuff ready to go to people and to get food to go to them and to just to have resources. So they need money.
They do, and also people kind of idealize this vision of giving to the homeless and giving them food as this vanity job where they'll get to hand plates of food to people and not realizing the work that goes behind that. Because it does take a lot of hard work, and you don't necessarily get a thank you from the person you're giving services to, but that's not what matters.
That's not why you're supposed to be doing it. You should get your own set. The act is the reward for yourself, but you do the thing without doing it for that. You're not looking to have somebody go, "Thank you, you're such a hero. Thank you for." It's like you kind of have to be your own. That voice has to be inside of you. You can't look for it to come from other people because you might not get it. You might not get it.
Well, thanks for being for serving your community, Tom.
Thank you for serving.
I appreciate and respect you.
We all have to do what we can. That's it. That's all we can do. I support the Community Food Bank of New Jersey. Everybody can support whatever place is in their backyard. I really do believe there's no substitute for helping people get food so that's the most, it's the most basic human element, shelter and food.
Can I ask you this? Do you ever give the bad snacks that are stale, et cetera, to anyone?
No, they don't want anything going. They don't want anything. The stuff gets tossed. You toss anything that's better. You don't secretly give it to... I don't know how you do things down there in Austin.
We put it in a big bag, a feed bag.
All right.
Just
up
leave
here
it outside.
In New Jersey, we don't do it. That's not how they're doing it. All right. Thank you for the call, my friend. I will talk to you
Thanks,
soon.
Tom. I appreciate and respect you, and I'm so glad that I got to talk to you finally.
The feeling is mutual. You have a great night.
Night.
Best show. Hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
Yeah, you're speaking to Woody in Rochester, New York.
How are you, Woody?
Hello, Tom.
What's going on tonight, Woody?
What's going on? I had one for the topic.
Let's hear it.
All right. So this is the weirdest dream I ever had in my life, and it culminates in me jumping willingly into a vat of acid.
It's you jumping into a vat of acid.
That is correct. I can, so...
Well, first of all, are you the Joker?
No, I'm not currently the Joker, and I did not turn into the Joker. I literally dissolved in the dream. And then, but I did it altruistically. I did it to save my sisters from some kind of a monster.
So there's some element of sacrifice for you, maybe, and preserving your family and looking out for other people. That could be a component of this, right? Is that fair to say?
That's right. That's right.
You are. Are you a responsible person?
I like to think so.
Do you think others would think so?
I think most people think so. I mean, I think, there's ups and downs. I'm not always the best with my finances, but I've always worked at jobs where I don't make a ton of money,
sure.
So it's tough.
But you take care of things. So what about this? What if we think along these lines? You're taking care of people, you're protecting people, but then you ended up in the vat of acid doing it, right?
Yeah, it was so that they were trying to get out of a door, and and we were in like a spooky house, and there was like a killer on the loose, and I jumped into the vat of acid, apparently because I knew that what would happen is, I would, I dissolved to the point where it's like my head, and then one of my eyes popped out of my head and blew through the lock on the door, and they were able to escape.
Well, let's think along these lines. Do you feel like... Where are you? On the loading dock? Where are you now?
I'm sorry. I'm motorcycle drove by. I've been on hold for a while. I'm not on the street.
Don't worry. Let's think. Is there some component that you feel you pay a price for the sacrifice you make?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, that's your vat of acid right there, right? It hurts. It hurts for you to make the sacrifice you make. You stick up for your family, and you run interference for them, and you get it so that they don't get hurt, but you get hurt.
Yeah, I guess, maybe
is that fair to say?
There's always a trade-off, huh?
Yes, no, of course there is. There's a transaction involved, and it's a give and take, and you are feeling some sort of, you definitely feel it. There is some sort of price that gets paid when you do what you do for your family.
Yeah, but you still got to do it, though. You got to do what you got to do.
I didn't say you didn't have to. I'm just saying, according to your dream, it does take some sort of toll on you to do what you do. Not that you would stop doing it, but you are acknowledging the toll that it does take. That's all.
Yeah, I guess.
All right. Is that good?
Tom, you understand everything.
Well, you have a great night, buddy.
You have a great night, Tom.
Okay, thanks. All right, we got to hear the same. I didn't say I'm not playing more of it. I didn't say I was only going to listen to it once, though. I'm listening to these same 5 seconds another time.
The wait is finally over. The Chicken Shack is now open for takeout and delivery.
All right, I got to hear 5 more seconds of it. We're going all the way back to the beginning. Is this okay, Jason?
The wait is finally over. The Chicken Shack is now open for takeout and delivery. Your wait for the best wings in the valley has come to an end.
Okay. I need to savor this. You have to understand. Oh, I know. Oh, I know there's a second one. Let's hear the beginning of this one, how it's different.
The clucking chicken. You know it, you love it. The clucking chicken. You know it, you love it.
Mike, how you doing out there? You doing all right, Mike? You don't feel so bad about the stuff that gets tossed your way. Best show, hi.
Hi. Hi, Tom.
Hello. To whom am I speaking?
This is Mary from Lansdale.
Mary from Lansdale. I know this Mary. We have almost met, right?
Yes.
We came close.
Almost, more than once, because I tried to go to the... Joe Parra, Joe Firestone show and couldn't get in. Well, it's a long story.
Well, you have a chance. Well, I guess it's sold out. They're playing this weekend. Well, they did it. By the time people hear this, it happened already. I can't talk about it.
Fair enough.
This is going to air on Tuesday, and a couple days ago, Joe Parra would have done a bunch of shows in New York.
Oh, okay.
So, Mary, what's going on tonight?
Well, you're doing dream interpretations.
Yes.
And I have two. One is kind of, like, I think it's probably pretty easy. And the other one, I have no idea what was going on.
Well, let's do the one you don't know. Let's do the one you don't know.
Okay. So in this dream, this just happened, I guess, like 2 months ago. I was down around the art museum in Philly. Okay. And I'm, like, driving around, you know how, like, the roads there are all, like, spaghetti. And I'm driving around the Eakins Oval around the art museum, and out of nowhere come a bunch of people on those rent a bikes, you know, the blue bikes.
Sure.
That a lot of cities have. And they're all dressed like David Bowie on the cover of Aladdin Sane.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, they just start swarming the SEPTA bus. And they start, like, riding their bike counterclockwise around it, like, faster and faster around this bus, like, really menacing.
Mm.
Almost like they're trying to make it disappear.
Mm.
And, like, they're going, like, faster and faster, almost like sharks.
Mm.
And then I woke up. And I don't know what it means. Like, that's just such a weird collection of images, and I have no idea what that is.
Get ready, my friend. Here we go.
All right.
Mary, how long have you lived in the Philadelphia area?
My whole life. I'm 39.
Your whole life. Well, let me tell you this. Look at some of the elements in this dream. First thing you said, art museum, right?
Uh-huh.
What I'm picking up on in this dream is there's a collision of art and the reality, the bland real life, and I don't mean, you know, of Philadelphia. You've got
uh-huh.
a SEPTA train, it's Philadelphia, it's business as usual. But, oh, what comes rolling through here? You're at an art museum, the art, the majesty and the beauty of art. And then here comes what? David Bowie. David Bowie's
yeah.
come rolling through. And which direction do they go? They go the opposite way around. They start surrounding this functional, boring transport that ships you around from work to home to work to home.
Yeah.
This is a collision within you, Mary, if I dare say so, of the part of you that is grounded in responsibility and reality and the part of you that soars and flies through art.
Yeah. That actually, you know what? That's actually really true.
Well, that's why I said it.
That, you know what? That makes a lot of sense.
Sure,
you know?
Does.
And the other thing that I left out, I grew up like up the street from the art museum.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it holds a really special place in my heart.
Yeah, it's meaningful to you. It's clear. It means something to you in terms of the larger world out there, and the human possibility.
Yeah, because the art museum. When I was a kid, my aunt would take us there on Sundays because it was free. I guess it still is. And so I grew up right by it, and you know, it's this big temple on a hill, and it's full of all this wonderful art, and going there was this big occasion, and, you know, you're just kind of, like, being surrounded by all this incredible, like, imagery and stuff, you know, and at the same time, it's just up the street, so it's, like, this very normal thing, so it's this weird, you know, like, it's special, and it's mundane at the same time, you know,
mm-hmm.
and for, oh, wow, yeah, and so, like, for me, like, you know, I got into David Bowie when I was, like, you know, like, 14, like most people do. And it was like, you know, on the one hand, it's mundane because it's music, but on the other hand, he's like, you know, visionary and
mm-hmm.
all over the place. And, you know, I mean, kind of like, you know, art for art's sake personified.
That's right.
There oh, man. Go. Oh, wow. And the, like, yeah. And like, so I would ride the bus all the time and yeah, to have it swung. Oh, wow. Oh, I like your interpretation.
Mm. All right, Mary. You have a great night.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And Mike, you got to admit one thing. It's pretty impressive what I'm doing. Right? Right? What's that? I don't know what I am, Mike. I know the human condition. I know people. I know people. I care about people. What are we doing here? We've been doing the show for a couple hours now, right? Yeah, we'll do another 20 minutes. How about that? And then we'll wrap it up. Best show, hi.
Hi.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
Luke.
Luke, what's up? What's up, Luke?
Not much.
You youngster?
Yeah.
How young of a youngster are you?
10.
Do you know who was 10? Clifford was 10. There's a little boy named Clifford who was 10 years old and caused a lot of trouble for his family. you don't cause a lot of trouble, though, do you?
No.
Hey, you're a good guy, right? Good kid?
Yeah.
What's your favorite subject?
In school, probably science.
You like science, eh? What part of it? What do you like doing? You like looking into the microscope?
Mostly like the experiments.
What's your favorite one? What's the craziest thing you ever saw happen with an experiment?
Probably when I was like in first grade when we did like that volcano experiment.
Yeah. Bubbled over, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what made you call tonight?
I don't know. Me and my dad listen to it when he picks me up.
That's all right. Good. That's good. You like listening to the show with your dad. That's nice.
Yeah.
You see any movies this summer?
No.
No? Do you like movies?
Yeah.
What's your favorite movie ever?
Maybe, like, a Star Wars movie or Avengers Infinity War.
Sure. You like Avengers Infinity War? Who's your favorite of all those characters in Avengers Infinity War? I have my favorite. On the count of three, we'll say our favorite character. You ready? Figure your favorite character out.
Okay.
You ready? 1, 2, 3. Doctor Strange. What's that?
Star-Lord.
Star-Lord. You like Star-Lord.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Do you like Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
You know the guy who screens the calls, right?
Yeah.
He was saying to me, he said, you know in that movie, I have like a bunch of those guys, the one guy's living in my house. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like six of the... You know the little furry guy with the machine gun? He's like, yeah, six of those guys live in my house, but they don't have machine guns. You know what he's saying?
Yeah, raccoon. He got raccoons.
He's got raccoons living in his house. And you know what he said? He said, one's name is Rocket. And he said, the other five, they're all named Chomper. Because they chomp him when he's asleep. What was your name again?
Luke.
Luke, that's right. So you like Guardians of the Galaxy. Are you going to see the next Avengers movie?
Yeah.
What do you think happens?
I don't know. My guess is that since they took away like half of their, all their like good characters,
yeah.
And my guess is they're all just going to come back.
They got to come back. They can't be gone forever. They can't have Black Panther be gone already. He just showed up.
Yeah.
We just met this guy. Now he's going to go and turn into a pile of dust?
Yeah.
Do you know who I think is going to be in the next movie?
Who?
Captain Marvel.
Shazam might be, because there's that movie coming out next summer.
Well, I think Shazam's a different world.
Yeah, oh, right. He's DC, I think.
That's right. I think you'll get Captain Marvel will be in it, though.
Yeah.
Do you want to see that? Did you see the trailer for that movie?
No, not yet.
It's good. You should watch it. It's good. And you know who else I think is going to be in the movie? Ant-Man.
Yeah, he wasn't in this movie.
No, he wasn't, but I think he'll be in the next one.
Wait, but isn't he stuck in, like, that one realm when he was trying to get, like, medicine?
He's stuck in the microverse, right? But everybody else vanished. That means he's safe. He's got to, if he gets out, then he can join the fight.
Yeah, but he's stuck there, and I don't know who's going to find
him.
He'll
get out. You tell me somebody's not going to help him get out of there? Somebody will help him get out.
Who will help him? Who will just find, like, a ton of computer stuff and, like, know what to do with it?
His friend, Lewis, will help him.
Yeah, but what if he vanished?
Well, I don't know, but we didn't see him vanish, so maybe he didn't. Only if half the people vanished, half of the people are still around. There's still somebody who can help him.
Yeah.
He'll get out and he'll start helping. That's what I bet.
Yeah.
So you excited? Are you back in school yet?
Yeah.
How's that going?
Good.
What grade?
Fifth.
Fifth grade? That's a good grade.
Yeah.
What else is going on? Anything?
I had an idea for one of the, for another episode.
Let's hear it.
So there's a podcast that I listen to. It's called Dumb People Town. And they, like, people, fans send in stories of, like, people doing dumb things.
Uh-huh.
But maybe, like, you can invite them. And then you could have, like, people call in and, like, tell them about dumb things that they've done in their life or that they that their friends or family have done.
That's a pretty good idea. That's the Sklar brothers, right?
Yeah.
I know those guys. They're good guys. They're nice guys. I'm friends with them. I'll ask them. That's a good idea. Luke, you did it. You wrote a segment for the show. You did more than either of these two buffoons that work on my show have done for me in the last 6 months. You've done more in one phone call. You wrote a full segment for the show, and you figured out some guests. The one guy out there, he keeps getting the same guy from Twin Peaks to call up. And you know the other thing he did? Do you like shrimp?
Yeah.
You know what this guy did? He drove around with a cooler full of shrimp.
Why?
In his car, and he ate them. He would reach behind him as he was driving around, just grab a handful of shrimp and eat them.
I would eat that all, though, and just, like, a handful of shrimp.
How would what?
I don't see how he didn't get sick.
Oh, he did get sick. He did, but he kept eating the shrimp. He's just like, I paid too much for this shrimp.
Oh, my God.
I gotta eat it. And he kept shoving the shrimp in his face. So you know we call him now Shrimp Face. And he has a shirt that says Shrimp Face on it. And the other guy we call Bach. You know why we call him Bach?
No.
Because he makes chicken sounds sometimes. All right, Luke. I got to take a couple more calls. Then I'm gonna go home. I'll talk to you later. Thanks for calling. It was nice talking to you.
Welcome.
You take
care. Bye.
Bye.
The clucking chicken. You know it. You love it.
I'm going further in that one. I'm sorry. That one's too good.
The clucking chicken. You know it. You love it. You find yourself waiting for it, don't you? Because
okay, that I can't handle. The weirdly friendly. Friendly taunting. You find yourself. Okay, let's hear it again.
The clucking chicken. You know it. You love it. You find yourself waiting for it, don't you?
You find yourself waiting for it, don't you? Oh, Mike. Mike's loving this. You know what gets me, Mike? Mike? There's no way this is the end of it. He's got hours of this stuff. I guarantee it, Mike, he's got hours of this stuff. If this is 2 minutes, if he sends through 2 minutes that quickly, he's got hours of it, and it's loaded and ready to go. He doesn't have to digitize it or find it or anything. He's probably got a Dropbox loaded with, he could just stick it right in the, he's loaded with it. Show, hi.
Hey, Tom, good evening. How are you?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking? Although I think I know who this is.
This is Gray from South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina.
I don't know who this is. What's up, Gray?
Yeah, Gray, like the color.
Like Deflecting Gray by, you know that band, Pretty Things? You ever heard the song Deflecting Gray?
No, don't know that one. Sorry.
Nice song waiting for you to check out with your name in it. What's up, Greg?
Candy Apple Gray. Nothing. I really don't. I saw on social media that there was a best show being recorded. Yeah. I really don't have anything. I apologize.
Right. That's fine. Open phone, buddy.
That's great. How are you? How's everything going?
Good. What are you doing tonight?
Yeah. I'm just hanging out with my daughter. She's up. We were out doing something tonight, and she's here. Not eating a grilled cheese she just had me make for her, but she's we're just hanging out.
How heavy you go on that butter on that thing?
Oh, usually pretty good. I only had a little slab left, so I didn't butter it up too hard this time. I didn't want it to break out another stick. So
yeah, good.
But I think I got her. She's set with butter.
Good. Well, the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah. Actually, if you'll indulge me, I think, Daphne, what are you drinking?
I smell just my little belly can hold.
What are you drinking, Daphne?
What are you
drinking?
Just as many milk as my little belly can.
Oh, my goodness.
Another email.
Child service is on the way, Daphne. Child service, run out on the lawn. Wave your arms. We're on our way. We'll get you out of there. Congratulations on that. That was an accomplishment, Gray.
Thank you. Yeah, we worked on that a little bit. So
yeah, I got to hear those rehearsal sessions you had going on.
Yeah. She's really tired too. This is way past her bedtime. So.
Yeah, you wore her out. You had her running lines on this thing. What are you, Stanley Kubrick? You got her doing 80 takes of drink as much milk as your little belly can hold.
Yeah, if we're calling the best show, we got to have it together. So
and you know what? I appreciate it, buddy.
No apologies.
Well, look, you go put your kid to bed, and thank you for that. That was fantastic.
All right, have fun in Canada, Tom. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Drink as much milk as your little belly can hold.
Remember that, Mike. These are your two food options, Mike. You got to get a nice beverage, so what do?
Drink as much milk as your little belly can hold.
All right, now you got the milk, but what are you going to eat? What are you going to eat?
The wait is finally over. The Chicken Shack is now open for takeout and delivery. Your wait for the best wings in the valley has come to an end. From their famous boneless wings to their traditional and even breaded wings.
Okay, every time we go a little further. Yeah, breaded. Yeah, Mike, this is how it is down there. This is new to them. Down there in, where is that, Atlanta? It's Bradford, Virginia. Mike, that was a new sensation. When the breading showed up in town. Yeah, when they started breading these things, Mike, they ran in the streets. They couldn't believe it. It was like Christmas morning. Best show. Hello. Hi. It's fine. Basho, hi.
Hi, this is Jack from Chicago.
Jack in Chicago. What's up, Jack?
I was calling in with one for the dream topic.
Let's hear it.
So I was wandering around downtown with my dad, looking desperately for a bathroom, but also desperately trying to remember Robert Altman's name and trying to get him to remind me his name.
So that's the dream? You and your father, you're walking around, you had to go to the bathroom, but you're also trying to remember Robert Altman's name.
Yeah, I'm kind of suggesting titles equally real and made up.
You're trying to get your father to remember it, or you're trying to remember it?
I'm trying to remember. With some prompting from him, but he is not remembering at all either.
Now, is this a thing you actually share with your father, the love of film?
You know, it's something that I'm kind of, I've started to get back in touch with lately. It used to be, when I was younger, I was a lot more of a film person and kind of a, you know, school and stuff kind of takes it away, but well, kind of a little bit more lately.
Well, this is what we're going to say. Is your father still alive? Is your father still with us?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, this is what this means. Seems to mean a little bit to me. You think about the things you and your father share, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about the things you and your father share. Do you feel like that's something that you're longing for, that you want more of? Do you feel like you don't do it as much as you would like to?
You know, we live in the same city, and, you know, I come up and see them, I'd say, relatively frequently. So, and, you know, I think that we're kind of, we have a relationship that's largely based on just talking about,
okay,
you know, things like that. So I don't know if it's just missing it, but
sure.
Maybe,
well,
it's just whatever's on my brain.
We might be celebrating it then. It might not be, it might just be you having a nice connection with your father in the dream that is just, sometimes they're not some revealing momentous occasion here with this. It can just be tapping into a good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like that's very meaningful to you to share that with your father. And there's something meaningful to the idea that you talk to your father as an adult rather than just your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nice. Maybe it's just you appreciating that.
Well, then in this case, I'll share it when I finish dog sitting with them this weekend.
Well, yes. All right. All right, my friend. That was a nice call. Say hi to your dad.
Hey, have a good evening.
Okay. Bye. I'm going to play a record, take a couple more calls, and then we will wrap it up. Last week, we played something from the Danielson new EP, which is so great. Snap out of it. We're going to hear the title track from it now. It's available on Joyful Noise Records, I think, later in October. It is truly great. Love Danielson. This record is up there with the best of what they've done. Let's check it out. The title track from the Snap Out of It EP by Danielson. Danielson, Snap Out of It, EP on Joyful Noise Records, comes out later in October. That's my guy, Daniel Smith. Dudio just said to me, you know that's me also doing the clucking sound. It's like, yeah, no kidding. You think we weren't sure if it was a multi-person recording session. Which one's your favorite, Mike? This one's my favorite.
Chicken. You know it. You love it. You find yourself waiting for it, don't you? Because you know that when you hear this, I'm getting ready to tell you more about...
Okay. I'll say this. I will never listen to more of this off air. I will only listen to this on air until I've heard all of it. I will not let myself hear one syllable more of this off air, no matter how badly I want to. And trust me, I want to hear this thing.
The wait is finally over. The Chicken Shack is now open for takeout and delivery. Your wait for the best wings in the valley has come to an end.
Imagine the guys at the Chicken Shack hearing this for the first time.
From their famous boneless wings to their traditional and even breaded wings, you just can't find anything better.
Even breaded. Yeah. Mike, we're not going to judge. We're not going to judge. People make fun of us here in New Jersey more than enough. Best show, hi. A few more calls, then we'll wrap it up. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom. How can you hear me okay?
I can, yes.
Awesome. This is Pete in Milwaukee.
Welcome, Pete.
Thanks for having me. I had a quick dream to tell you about.
Let's hear it.
So I dreamt that I visited Massa's Tavern, and I don't remember too much about what I saw there, but I do remember Mike asking me what I thought, and I told him it was like a cross between Roadhouse and Creepshow. And he laughed and told me, it's been said before.
Hold on. This is a dream? This is honestly a dream?
Honestly.
That you went to Masses?
Yes.
And pitched Mike on a movie?
No. I said, he asked me what I thought of Masses.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
And that was pretty much it.
Well, I can only say you, that there's not much else to interpret in that dream.
Yeah, it was pretty straightforward, yeah.
Yeah, well.
I have another quick one, if I could.
Yes, let's hear it.
This was a couple nights ago. I dreamt that I slept over at Jake Fogelnest's house. And in the morning, I woke up, and he was very nervous to get me to move my car. So I went into his garage. It was a large garage with a glass door where I could see my car was kind of blocking him from getting out. His vehicle that he wanted to move was a giant pickup truck with huge wheels on it. And he kept on kind of saying, you gotta get your car moved, then we'll go get some dinner. And it was about 9 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know. I couldn't begin to analyze that one. I don't know. I think you're just your interests are all colliding in one place. These sound very arbitrary. I wish I could put more narrative to it. I can't.
No, I rarely have these dreams that I can remember, and they're, very vivid scenes and things like this. But, these are the things that I'm coming away with. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well,
these but are thanks
your
for listening.
They're all your dreams, but they're all yours. No one can take them away from you.
All right. Have a good one, Tom.
You too. You take care. Best show, hi. Hello.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, yes.
Hey, this is Nick in Austin.
Nick in Austin. What's up, Nick?
Hey, nothing, man. I'm just at work. Had a dream I wanted to run by you.
Let's hear it.
So about a week ago, you're familiar with the rapper Lil Xan?
Why, yes, I am.
I had a dream that he and I were roommates.
Okay.
So, yeah.
How old are you?
I'm actually 30.
Okay. So yeah. You're roommates with a teenager.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, so throughout the dream, at first I was a little startled to find myself in a situation. Mm-hmm. And at one point he handed me a bag of drugs.
Yeah.
And explained that he, was no longer enjoying them. And so I thought that was good. And then at one point he was cooking a ham in our oven. And I instructed him on how to properly cook the ham.
I have no idea what to tell you this means. Are you jealous of this kid that
I really don't know either. I've been thinking about it since it happened.
Do you want to be an artist, or you're not an artist? I don't know what to say. Where are you at with that?
No, I'm pretty happy in that aspect of my life. I don't know either.
I know you got me on this one. You're stumping me straight up.
All right, man.
All right, you have a great night.
All right, you too, bud.
Bye. Best show, hi. Hello?
Hey!
We got a sleeper.
Do you read me? Do you read me, Hal?
Affirmative, Dave. I read you.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What's the problem?
I think you know what the problem is just as well as I do.
What are you talking about?
This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it.
I don't know what you're talking about, Hal.
I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me. And I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
Where the hell did you get that idea, Hal?
Hey, although you took very thorough precautions in the power against my hearing you, I could see your lips move.
All right, Hal.
I'll go in through the emergency airlock.
Without your space helmet, Dave, we're going to find that rather difficult.
Hal, I won't argue with you anymore. Open the doors.
Dave, this conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Hal? 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 Hal!
I never liked Led Zeppelin, and I never liked heavy rock. I hate, like, if you ask me, like, those real, like, Grand Funk Railroad or even the crazy mega, you know, the mega death or like...
Michael, I'm going to kill you!
Variety? The Shack gives you 10 different wing flavors to choose from. The wait is finally over.
Bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
We made it!
What's the problem?
I think you know what the problem is just as well as I do.
What are you talking about?
This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it.
I don't know what you're talking about, Hal.
I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me. And I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
Where the hell did you get that idea, Hal?
ever see a hangman tie a slipknot? Did you ever see a hangman tie a slipknot? Yes, I've seen it many a time, and he whines and he whines. After 13 times, he's got a slipknot.
Time to end the show. Maybe the greatest moment in the history of the best show. If not, I'm going to strike the word maybe from that. Let me see if I can wake this sleeper up.
Hey! Hey! Wake up! Wake up! Hey, wake up!
Funny, we did a show on dream analysis, and then we got this sleepy sleeper here sleeping the night away.
Wake up!
You sleep. No, don't wake up. You sleep. Thanks, everybody who called in tonight. I appreciate it. We will do more of these. We will figure it all out. I'm going to be traveling, working in Toronto for a good long while. But the best show keeps on keeping on, man. We do not stop. You can't stop the best show. You can't top the best show. We've been doing this for too long for me to stop now. To do a show without anybody listening live, it's still better than 99. I tell you, you put this show up against what anybody else is doing. Right, Mike? Can't touch it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will be back, and you have a great night. Bye. Did he wake up? Hello? Hey. Hey, sleepyhead. You awake there, sleepyhead? Bye-bye.